All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Tzadik Tes. 99. We are starting from Tzadik Ches, 98b, the Mishnah. Hopefully you did your homework yesterday. So it says the Mishnah, Nasan le'umanin le'takin. So we'll say an interesting halacha. Person goes ahead and gave an item to a craftsman to go ahead and to fix it. V'kilkolo. But ultimately, again, the craftsman doesn't fix it. Instead, he ruins it. So that's the halacha. Chayavin l'shalim. So the halacha is, ultimately, the craftsman is chayiv to go ahead and pay back. Nasan l'charash, shida teva u'migdal. We'll say, if ultimately, again, if you gave to a charash, charash is a carpenter. Now, shida teva u'migdal, we'll say, are different types of utensils. Either a closet, a chest, a wagon, a carriage. So the tacking, to fix. Vikilkal, and ultimately again the craftsman messed it up. So chayiv l'shalim. Ultimately the craftsman is chayiv to go ahead and repay. V'habano yishakiba alav listra sakol. So similarly again I will say if I hired a builder, a contractor. By the way, a builder, Shakiba Lav Lister Esakoso, and I hired him to go ahead and to take down a wall. Vishibir Havana, well, said, that's interesting. Remember, they're talking about stone walls over here. So when you took down a stone wall, you wanted to be careful to what? To preserve the stones, because the stones could always be reused. Vishibir Havanim. And he broke the stones. Oh, shezikon, right? Or ultimately, again, they cause damage. So we'll discuss these cases. Chayiv l'shalim. Ultimately, again, he, i.e., the builder, will be chayiv to pay. Hayososu mitzad zev, nafal mitzad acher. If it was he was removing the stones on one side, and apparently, as a result of the stones that he removed on one side, the stones on the other side fell down. Potter. Ultimately, again, he will be potter from any damages that were caused. V'machmas hamaka chayiv. But if ultimately, again, the stones on the other side fell down as a result of what? As a result of the banging of the hammer, then the builder, the craftsman, will in fact be chayv. Okay, we'll define all of these cases in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amar Avasi, Lo shanu ela shenasan l'charash, shida teva u'migdal, v'na'itz ben mesamer, v'na'atz bahen mesamer v'shibron. So we'll say, when do we say that the craftsman has to go ahead and pay back the full value? Remember, the Mishnah said that if you give him a shida teva umigdal and he broke it, then he has to go ahead and pay for the full value of the item. When does he have to pay for the full value of the item? That's only when you gave him pretty much a finished product and you asked him to go ahead and complete it. So for example, the na'itz b'mesar means to put in some nails. So I essentially give him a finished product, but I tell him, look, I need you just to make some final adjustments, put in some final nails. He does so and he breaks it. That's when he's going to be chayiv to give me back the full value of the item. Aval nasan l'charesh eitzim laso shida tevo migdal. V'asam ehen shida tevo migdal. V'shibran patebo. So this is actually pretty wild. But, halacha l'maisa, in the event that I just gave him wood, and I asked him to make from the wood a shida teva umigdal, and he did so. And I will say after he took, so I give him wooden boards. I tell him to make this finished product. He does so, and then towards the end of the creation process or the construction process, he breaks them. Potter, he's potter. And I will say, what does he mean? He's potter. He's potter from paying me back for a finished product, and he only has to give me what? The value of the raw materials that I gave him. My time, and I'm both saying, this is actually amazing. We've learned this before. My time, what's the reason for that? Uman kona b'shevach kli. I will say, this is a very important principle. In general, when you go ahead and you give someone, a craftsman, raw materials in order to make a finished product, there is a machlokes as to what the relationship between the craftsman and the finished product is. Uman kona b'shevach kli means that I give the craftsman raw materials. When he transforms those raw materials into a finished product, he acquires the kli. He acquires the kli. And therefore what? When I go ahead and I pay at the end of the creation process, I am in fact buying the kli from him. So in other words, there are two ways in which you could look at the exchange of funds at the end of the craftsman's project. You could look at it as what? As wages. I'm paying for labor. Or you could look at it as I'm buying this product from the Uman. Rav Asi holds Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli means that when I give an Uman raw materials, which are mostly mixed, according to what we've learned before, the Uman changes the state of those raw materials. Remember, we've already seen this concept that when you change the state of anything, what happens? What happens? You acquire it. Uman acquires it and sells it back to me at the end of the process. Therefore, according to Rav Asi, that's why Halacha L'maisa, again, in the event that I give him raw materials, and ultimately, again, he makes it into the Shida Tevo Migdal, then breaks it before ultimately he's able to deliver it to me. He is potter, meaning when we say potter, he doesn't have to pay me the value of a finished product, rather he pays me the value of my raw materials. Why? Because he effectively acquired that Shida Tevo Migdal. So when it breaks, whose utensil is breaking? It's the Uman's utensil that's breaking, and he's only chayef to give me the value of the raw materials. Tinan, we learned in the Mishnah that if you gave, remember the Mishnah we just learned before, if you gave to the Umnin, you gave him, now it doesn't say what you gave him, but you gave him, and he gave him materials, or you gave him an item, and he destroyed it, he's obligated to pay back. My love, the Yoav who ate him. Are we not talking about a case where you gave him raw materials and yet the Mishnah is paskening that the Uman is chayiv to pay back the full value of the finished product? To which the Gemara says, lo, shida teva umigdol. No, we're talking about a case where you gave him a finished product, pretty much a finished product, just to put in a couple of nails, and what happens? He messed it up. So in that kind of case, Rabbi Osai, everyone will agree that halacha l'maaseh, the Uman has to pay back the value of a fully finished item. Omri, so the Gemara says, Omri, Durei She'etzim Omri. Now, Midiktoni Seifa Shida Tevo Migdol. That was the fact that the second part of the Mishnah, you're setting it up as a case of where he gave the Uman the actual utensil, and he just asked the Uman to put in a couple of nails. We could infer from that the Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, is talking about a case of where you gave him raw materials, to which the Gemara answers, Omri Pirushe Kamefarishla. In fact, the Mishnah's two parts are interrelated, and the second part is coming to explain the first. Watch this. Ketzad, what's the case? Nasan l'uman l'takim v'kilkulu chayavim l'shalim. We'll say, what's the case where if you go ahead and you give something to the Uman, and he messes it up, that the Uman will be chayiv to pay for the full value of a finished product? Kigon, shenasan l'charesh, shida teva umigdal. So we'll say, the case where an Uman will be chayiv to pay the full value is when you gave him a pretty much fully finished product, asked him to put on some finishing touches. If he ends up destroying the product, then what? He's going to be chayiv to go ahead and pay for the full value of a finished product. But if you just gave him raw materials, he fashioned it into the Shida Teva Umigdal, but before it was complete, he broke it. What is he going to be chayiv to pay? Only raw materials. Why? Because Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli. We'll say a very important, we'll see if we pass that way halacha l'maisa, but a very important principle that the Uman, the craftsman, essentially acquires the finished product for himself and effectively sells that back to the person who went ahead and furnished him with the raw materials. V'achinai Mistaber, this seems to be clear. The Ketzad Katoni, because it uses the word, the Mishnah uses the word Ketzad. Because if you want to say Dereisha, it's talking about a case where you actually gave him raw materials. Hashta Ashmo Inon Eitzin Chayev and Lashalim, V'lom Rinon Uman Kona B'Shevach Kelim, Shida Tevo Migdal Miboy. Because I will say, if the Mishnah was going to teach me that even if he gives me raw materials, that I'm going to be Chayev to pay for the finished product, so all the more so if he gives me a finished product, of course, and I destroy it, of course I have to pay the value of the finished product. What's the Chiddush in that? To which the Gemara says, no, Imishum Ha Lo Iria. Now, if that's your reasoning, then that is flawed. Why? Because I can always say that the end of the Mishnah comes to shed light on the beginning. Because don't say that it's only, the Havamin is, don't say it's only in the case of where you give him a finished product and he destroys it, that he's chai for the full value. But if you were to give him eitzim, not. Tana Seifa, Sheda Teva Umigdal, Mechlal Dereisha Eitzim, Vafilu Hachi Chai of the Shalim. So we'll say, therefore, again, the Gemara is just pointing out that you would not necessarily infer this stance or this position from the Mishnah itself. Let's bring a Braisa that's for Rav Asi. So we'll say, this is Rav Asi's Shita. Rav Asi's Shita is Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, that you give it now again. Therefore, if you give an Uman raw materials, he fashions it into a finished product. The Uman has acquired the finished product, at the end of the process, when I go to get my thing, in fact, my item, what I'm really doing is I'm buying the item from the Uman. Why is this important? Because should something happen to the product in some stage of creation, fabrication, construction, the most the Uman is going to be chayy for is what? The value of the raw materials. So let me say, spring rice that supports this. I know since someone let's have a, but say if you give wool to a dyer, tab of tzaddik tes, v'ikdichu yora, and we'll say what happens. The wool, and the little v'ikdichu yora means the wool got burned in the pot. Remember the way you dye wool is you take a vat, you take a big pot filled with dye, you put the wool in, and you stir the wool. You keep doing that until the wool ultimately absorbs the color. So v'ikdichu yora, Rashi says niskalkel hatseva me'atzmo. So whatever it is, it got burned. The wool itself got ruined. So what's the halacha? No sinle demet samro. So the dyer has to give the owner the value of the wool itself. Demet samro in. So we'll say, what do you see from here? The owner of the dyer has to pay the owner of the wool the value of raw wool, but not the value of finished wool. To which the Gemara says, so we'll say, so that supports Rav Asi, right? Because Rav Asi says that what? Any time that an Uman is adding some level of improvements to a utensil, to an item, he acquires the item and his liability is capped at the value of raw materials. To which the Gemara says, Lav shek dicho la'achar nefila di'ika shvacha. So we're not talking about a case of Asayv where the wool was burned after it fell in to the pot with the dye, where the wool already appreciated a bit before it was ruined, and yet what? And yet you see that the Uman is only chayav for the value of raw wool, unprocessed wool. Ushmamina Uman kona b'shevachli. And you see from here that a Uman does in fact acquire, he acquires the item as a result of any additions or any improvements that are made, and his liability is capped at the value of the raw materials. Amr Shmuel says, no, not necessarily. Hacham Ayaskina, what's the case? Geom Shekdichu Bishas Nefila. Now, the case of both say, this case of the wool is actually where it was burned at the time that it was falling into the vat, the Lekha Shvacha, where there is no appreciation in this case. In other words, the wool was not improved at all before it was ruined. That's why what? That's why Halach Lemaisa, again, he only has to pay the value of the raw wool itself. Avalek Dichu La'achar Nefila, but again, it could be that in a case of where the wool improved after it fell into the vat, my nosinle dimait samro ushvacho needed halacha is what that he has to pay both the value of the basic wool as well as the appreciation. In other words, that this brisa is not a proof to Rav Asi. Leimo Shmuel less le Rav Asi. So are you telling me again that Shmuel does not hold Rav Asi? Meaning we'll say Rav Asi again. Simple. Not simple, but Uman kona b'shevach kli. Right, a craftsman acquires a utensil through the improvements, and therefore his liability is capped. His liability is capped at the value of the raw materials. Are you telling me now that Shmuel disagrees with Rav Asi? Amar lecha Shmuel, Shmuel will say to you, how come I ask? You know, what's the case? Kegon ditzemer v'samon de balabayis. Oh, we'll say, the case of the dyer is like this. The case of the dyer is where both the wool as well as the dye belong to the balabas. So we'll say, in a case where the wool and the dye belong to the balabas, therefore, again, agar yadehu deshakir. Well, so everybody will agree in that kind of case where essentially the Uman has no investment in the process. Therefore, what is he? He's just a hired hand. Everyone will agree in that. See, we'll say, here's interesting. What Dimar is suggesting over here is the yisod of Uman kona b'shevach kli is predicated on the idea that a Uman normally invests something of his own in the creation or improvement of the item. But if the Uman is not investing anything of his own in the improvement of the item, then in that case it would appear everyone would agree that he's just simply treated as a hired hand and does not acquire the item in any way. Ihaki, if that's the case, no sinle demet samro, v'samanim ibayle. Well, if that's the case that the balabas owned the wool as well as the dye, and the dyer messed up the process, then he should not only be on the hook for the wool, what else should he be on the hook for? For the dye as well? Rather, Shmuel was just simply trying to put off the proof. Rashi says, so Shmuel is not really himself voicing his position, whether he agrees with the Rashi, doesn't agree with the Rashi, all Shaul is just trying to point out is that the Braisa you quoted is not necessarily a definitive proof for Rashi. Fine. Tashma. Hanosein talisa le'umnon. Supposed to listen to this. I give my cloak to a craftsman. So gamro v'hodio. So listen to this. I give my cloak to a craftsman. And the craftsman tells me that it's finished. Right? Calls me and tells me it's done. Tells me it's done. I feel me kan vada sar yamin. Eino over alav mishum lo solin. So we'll say, listen to this. If I don't pick up the cloak, or I should say, if I don't pay him for his work, even from now until after 10 days, I am not in violation of the prohibition of lo solin. We'll say, the prohibition of lo solin is lo solin pu'ulas solkir. When someone does work for you, you have to pay them immediately. Now again, we'll discuss what type of employees this applies to, but lemais, again, there's a lo solin pu'ulas solkir ad boker, means if somebody bepashtos is a day laborer, you have to pay them that day. You cannot go ahead and allow them to remain unpaid overnight. So we'll say, in this case over here, I went ahead and I had my talis taken care of by someone. And what happens? He tells me it's done. Even if I don't pay him for 10 days after it's done, I'm not in violation of lo solin. So we'll say, so why is that? So the truth is, we'll see, the logic behind it is because halacha lemaisa, part of an obligation of an uman is what? To return the object to me. It's interesting. I as the Baal HaBos, I don't have the obligation to go get it from him. Part of the service, and obviously this is societal, but part of the service is for him to bring it back to me. So your job is not only complete when the labor is done, your job is complete when you deliver the object back to me. So as long as you haven't delivered the object back to me, your work's not done. If your work's not done, I don't owe you payment. If I don't owe you payment, then I'm not in violation of lo solin. So the Gemara says, Nasna lo bechatzi hayom. If let's say ultimately again, if I go ahead, if he gave it back to me in the middle of the day, Kevan Sheshakala Vachama Omar Lami Shumbasolim. So we'll say at the end of the day, let's say he gives it back to me midday. So the halacha is I have from midday until sunset of that day to pay him. And if I don't pay him before the sun sets, then what? I'm in violation of Lo Solim. So we'll say, watch this. Am I over Mishum Baltolim? So we'll say, listen to this. But if you hold that an Uman acquires an object when he improves it, then what, Rabbi Osai? Presumably we're talking about a case where what happened earlier? I gave him raw materials. He fashioned it into a talis. If you hold Uman Kone B'Shevach Kli, then what? Then what? He's acquired the talis. I'm effectively going to buy it back from him. If I'm going to buy it back from him, then what? There's no Lo Sullen, right? Lo Sullen or Lo Tullen. You know, I want to make everybody happy, right? So remember that lo solin only applies to Rabbi Osai, only applies to wages. It only applies to wages. So if you listen, how fascinating this is. If you hold uman kona b'shevach kli, that means when a craftsman improves a product, an object, he acquires the object as a result of the improvements. Say if you hold uman kona b'shevach kli, then that means again the uman effectively owns the talis. He's going to sell it back to me. But if he owns the talis, then what? Then I don't owe him wages. I owe him a sale price. If it's not wages, then there's no din of lo solin. If there's no, but yet the Braisa says that what? That if he gives it back to 12 o'clock in the afternoon and Shkia is at 7 o'clock at night, I have 7 hours to pay him. And if I don't pay him a violation of a sale, which seems to tell us what? That Uman lo kona b'shevach kli. That apparently a craftsman does not acquire a utensil through the improvements he made. It's amazing. So says the Gemara, no. Amar of Mari Braid Rav Kahana, what's the case over here? This is not a case of where I'm giving him like wool and he's making a talis for me. Rather, the case over here is Begarda de Sarbala. The case of Osei is I'm giving him a talis. So I guess the way they used to, when you made a wool garment, so apparently at first the wool was very stiff and hard. So what you would do is you would give it to someone to soften the wool. So I gave it to this guy to soften the wool. Deleka shivcha, where there's no real appreciation in the object. In other words, there's no improvement in the object. So says the Gemara, sof. So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting because there's no real improvement in the object, therefore what? The Uman's not kona anything. So yes, this is a straight case of wages, but this is not a proof against Rav Asi. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, sof lamai di yava nehele lerekuche. But how can you say there's no shavach? I will say, obviously, if I'm paying for a service, that must mean what? That it's doing something, right? So if I'm giving him my cloak, and the wool is tough, and I'm giving it to him to soften it, then there is an improvement being made when he softens the wool. To which the Gemara says, "Kevan derach vehainu shivcha." That's shavach also. Lo tzricha daagre levitchi bitsha b'maasa. So we'll say, what's the case? The case over here is where I'm giving it to him actually to stamp on it. Rashi says over here, libatushe, Rashi says, v'sachro ledarka v'hisna imo sikum hadarchios kodricha b'ma'a v'schir yomu v'lo kablin delikni b'shivcha. So we'll say, apparently, another step in the wool processing was you would stamp on the wool, I guess, to solidify the fibers. So the way this worked was, I was going to pay him a certain amount of money for every stamping. For every stamping. So we'll say in a case like this, where his wage is clearly tied into a specific action, that the more times he repeats it, the more money he gets, that's a case ultimately, again, of a hired hand. Dehainu schirus. Ulemai desalaka daitin me kardala agra levitchi. So we'll say, and that which we thought from the beginning, that's what, look at Rashi, ulamai desalaka daitame kardalo agre leminyan bitchi vekablano suvekatani over. So we'll say, what we thought originally, that I'm not getting paid per stamping, but rather, again, I'm getting paid for the general process, in which case, again, we'll say, such an individual would be a kablon, would be a hired worker, maybe you would say, umar kona b'shavachli, to which the Gemara is, mad desalaka daitame kardalo agre levitchi miseyele rav sheshas. The Bami of Rishishas, because mostly asked the following question of Rishishas. Kablonus, over mishum baltalin o eno over. Well, so I remember again, this actually leads into another question. We were talking about the Isra of Balsolin. Right? So Balsolin says, someone does work for me, I can't go ahead and let the sun set without paying them. Well, say, what type, now everyone will agree, what type of worker does that apply to? Day labor, right? That's obvious. I work for $100 a day. So of course, again, it goes without. So I'm a daily laborer. My employer has to pay me everything. What about a kablon? People say, what's a kablon? So a kablon is someone who is hired to do a job, but is paid for the job. He's not paid per hour. He's not paid per day. He's paid for the job. So is there a prohibition of losolin, of balsolin, by a contractor? So the contractor finishes his job. Do I have to pay him that day? Or do we say, no, the son is only for day labor? So we'll say, this is the Shaila of Sheshes. Kablon is over la mishum basalon. You know, over. Are you on violation of basalon? If you don't pay the contractor the day that he finished, the kablon, the day that he finished, are you chai for basalon or not? V'amudur of Sheshes, over. And we'll say, Rav Sheshes said, yes, you are in violation of Balsalin if you don't go ahead and pay the contract. And I will say, I understand, obviously, these type of situations are also all subject to agreements. Meaning, if I hire a contractor, it could be that biblically I'm obligated to go ahead and pay him the day that he finishes. But if we both agree, meaning if the contractor agrees to take payments within 30 days, then of course, again, we could agree on those terms and I will not be in violation, ultimately, again, of Lo Sullen. But absent any agreement, Rav Sheshes says that the halacha of Bal Sullen applies to a contractor. Also, the day that the contractor finishes his work, you have to pay him. So the Gemara says, Lema, did Rav Sheshes pliga did Rav Asi? So maybe Rav Sheshes argues on Rav Asi. Because we will say, again, remember, now look at Rashi for just a moment. Name up Ligid Rav Sheshes Rav Asi, the Midika Amar over Kasavra in Uman Kono Beshevach Kli, Velo Zavini Ninhu. So we will say, listen to this. Vechivan de lo Kono Beshevcha, Hecha de Nasan Eitzel Nasas Men Teva, Vasan Shiram Mishayim Teva. We will say, listen to this. So say now, Rav Sheshes must argue on Rav Asi. Now watch this, this is amazing. Why did Rav Sheshes and Rav Asi argue? Because remember, Rav Asi was the one who said, Uman Kona Beshevach Kli. Right? That when a craftsman improves an item, he acquires the item through the improvements. At the end of the process, he's effectively selling the item back to the individual. Rav Sheshes says that you are in violation of Balsalin when your kablon finishes his work. When your contractor finishes his work, Nabos said, now understand. Now, if you hold Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, then what? Then the kablon would effectively acquire the finished product and would be selling it back to the owner. The fact that Rav Sheshes says that you're in violation of Bal Sullen for a kablon tells us that Uman Ona Eino Kona B'Shevach Kli. So say that Rav Sheshes and Rav Asi are arguing with each other. Amr Shmuel Bar Acha b'shlicha d'igarta. No, no, Rosh Hashanah's talking about a case of someone who you asked to be like a letter carrier. So we'll say, so I asked somebody to be a courier. So we'll say, in the case of courier, there's no shevach kli to speak of, and therefore, again, it's clear that a person is simply being paid a wage to perform a particular service. So lima kitanoi. So we'll say, let's say that this entire issue is yimachlok yas tanan. How so? Asali shirayim. Or shirim, not shirayim, but shirim nizamin taba'os v'kadish lechar. Listen to this. A woman gives a man some gold, and she says to him, take from this gold and make for me some bracelets, some nose rings, and some rings, and I will become the kudeshes to you. Right, so she's giving him the gold. You man, fashion it into some jewelry, and I will become the kudeshes to you. And Rashi says over here, Aseli Shirin, Semidin Mishali, Vakadish Lacha, Bishar Pula Secha. Now, Pashas, what she's saying over here is, I will become Mikudeshes to you with the value of your labor. Okay? So what's Talacha? Kevan Shasan, Mikudeshes to the Mayor. Mayor Paskins, that once the man has made the items, ultimately, again, she is Mikudeshes. The Chum say, Eina Mikudeshes, Achiagia Mamon Liada. The Chum, on the other hand, say, no, she's not Mikudeshes until the money reaches her hands. So asks the Gemara, my Mamon, what money are you talking about over here? Ilema Oso Mamon, if you want to say we're talking about that money itself, in other words, until he gives her back, the bracelets, the nose rings, and the rings, if that's what you're saying, Mechlad Rabbi Meir Savar Osa Mamon Lo, are you saying that according to Rabbi Meir, he doesn't even have to give her back the items, and Lamaise again, she'd still be Mekudeshes? That can't be. Ella B'mai Mekadsha. According to Rabbi Meir, if he's not giving her back the bracelet, the jewelry, then ultimately, what is she becoming Mekudeshes with? So it says the Gemara, Ella Pshita Mai Mamon, Mamon Acher. Rather, when the Chachamim say she's only Mikudeshes when he gives her money, it means what? Other monies. I mean, according to the Chachamim, this setup does not work. The setup does not work. It has to be other Mamon. The Gemara says, why? V'savruah d'choli alma yeshnu l'sira mitchila v'atzov. So also listen to this. We're getting so much today. It's amazing. So because everyone holds, we'll say yeshnu l'sira mitchila v'atzov means that when a person does work for me, a person does work, so we view that technically speaking, that person is entitled to certain wages at different points in time. So let's say somebody's performing a service for me that spans a week. So there's two different ways to see how they earn their wages. So one approach is in l'schiros ela l'basof, which means that the worker only earns his wages when? At the end, when the job is complete. Yeshna l'schira mitchila v'asof means a worker earns his wages in increments. In other words, every single time he does some part of the project, ultimately what? He is entitled to certain monies, which now become a debt between him and the person he's working for. I will say, of course, you know, the major nafkamina between these two opinions is what? I hire someone to do work, and they stop in the middle. Am I obligated to pay them for work that's been done or not? So it depends on this machlokes. If you hold ein l'schiros el l'basof, then no, you only get paid for it at the end of the job. Then if you stop, then I don't owe you anything. If you hold yeshnu l'schiros mitchil l'basof, then again, a person is entitled to monies in increments. It just, I don't have to pay the increments, but it becomes a debt upon me, the employer, or the hirer in increments. So says the Gemara, everyone agrees, so everyone agrees that Rabbi say when a person is a worker, so his wages accrue in increments. So that's point number one. Everyone also agrees that Rabbi say if you're a mekadesh woman with a loan, right, with debt forgiveness. In other words, I owe a woman money, and what? And I forgive the debt. Then ultimately, again, we learn this in Kiddushin. That does not affect Kiddushin, and we'll discuss why. So the Gemara says, "My love, but woman called Meshavach, klika miflagi." And what are they arguing about over here? What they're arguing about is, doesn't Uman acquire an item through improvements? Rabbi Meir holds that when the woman gives the man the block of gold and he fashions it into jewelry, he acquires the jewelry, and when he gives it back to her, ultimately again, he's being mekadesh her with his own objects. On the other hand, Rabbanan Savri, ein uman kol meshevach kli. On the other hand, the Rabbanah hold no. An Uman does not acquire an item through its improvements, and therefore when he gives her back her jewelry, what is he effectively doing? He's giving her back that which is already hers. Therefore, no Kiddushin unless he gives her additional monies. So the Gemara said, lo, dechule alma ein Uman kol shel kli. Says the Gemara, everyone's agreeing that an Uman does not acquire an object through improvements. Ella, hacha, yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzov kamiflagi. Rather, Rabbi say here, their machlokes is, do wages accrue in increments, or are wages only due at the end? Rabbi Meir Savar ein l'schiros el l'basos. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Meir holds that a worker is only entitled to wages at the end. Ein l'schiros el l'basos. Rabbi say, look at Rashi, last Rashi on the page. Ein l'schiros el l'basos ki mahadr lohu nehila. Hilchach lav milvahu. So we'll say ultimately again, there's no debt over here. There's no debt. Rather, what he's doing over here is he's giving her the value of his services at the end. For Rabbanan Sarvi Yeshlis Sriras Mitrila Vatsov. The Rabbanan will say, on the other hand, hold that what? That his wages accrue. So because his wages accrue at every step, those wages, after they accrue, they transform into what, Rabosai? They transform into a milvah, into a debt. Therefore, the way he'd be Mekadesh is by debt forgiveness. Well, you can't be Mekadesh a woman through debt forgiveness. That's why the Rabbanan say it doesn't work. Could also be, everyone agrees that what? That wages accrue throughout the duration of the work, and those wages morph into a debt. And Rabbanan say, here the Machlokes is, can you be Mekadesh a woman with a debt, with debt forgiveness? The Rabbi Meir Savar But Rabbi Meir holds that if a woman owes a man money and the man forgives the debt, that effectively is the equivalent of giving her kesef kiddushin. For Rabbanan Savri, HaMekadish B'milva, Ein HaMekudeshes. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, hold that no, you cannot be Mekadish a woman ultimately again with debt forgiveness. To which the Gemara says, Rabba Amar no, B'choli Amma Yeshtun L'Schiras Mitchil V'Atzov. Okay, let's take another stab at this. Everyone agrees, Abosai, that wages accrue in increments throughout the duration of the work, and those wages ultimately transform into a debt that is owed to the worker. And I will say, point number two, everyone agrees that what? You can't be Mekadesh with a loan for debt forgiveness. And everyone will also agree that what? That a Uman, a craftsman, does not go ahead and acquire an item through improvements. So what's the case over here? Kigon shahosif la nofach mishalo. Oh, well, so the case over here is where what? When he gives her back the jewelry, he added in a precious stone. Nofach means like a gem. So he added something into her jewelry of his own. Watch this. Rabbi Meir Savar Milva Opruta Daita Pruta. So Rabbi Meir holds. Now, in this case, essentially, Rabbi Meir, what he's doing is two things. He's being Mekadesh her A with debt forgiveness because he's forgiving the money that is owed to him. And he's also giving her an additional quote unquote Pruta. Now, it's more than a Pruta. He's giving her a gem. So the Shaila Rabbi Meir in this kind of case is, what is her das on? In her mind, what is it that's affecting the Kiddushin? Because Kiddushin is being affected with two things. Debt forgiveness and the pruta, the gem. Now remember, debt forgiveness doesn't work, gem will work. So what is her mind focus on? Rabbi Meir Savar Milva Pruta Daita Pruta. Rabbi Meir says if she's being given debt forgiveness and the pruta, she's going to focus on affecting the kiddushin through the pruta. And again, when I say pruta, it means the gem. Rabbanan Savar Milva Pruta Daita Amilva. On the other hand, the Rabbanan say that no. When she's given both the milva and the pruta, the debt forgiveness and the pruta, her das will be on the milva, her das will be on the debt forgiveness, which I will say will be problematic because lemaisa, again, you can't be mekadesh with a milva. Pluta dahani tanoi. And I will say ultimately, again, the same achlokes as the fam achlokes tan. The sanyo, bischar sha'asisi imach eina mekudesh. We actually had this earlier. If man says to a woman, become mekudeshes to me with the value of the work I've already performed for you. So what's the halacha? She's not mekudeshes. Sorry, Rabbi Osei, because we learned this. Because the maisa, again, that's a hava now. Because since he already did the work, she owes him the money. That's as if it's a debt. And he's being mekadesh with debt forgiveness. That will not work. However, if he says, But if he says to become Kudesh with the value of the services I will perform for you, so I'll say in that case again, there's no debt yet because the services have not yet been performed, then what? Mikudeshes. In fact, she can be mikudeshes with that value. Rabbi Nosson Omer, b'schar she'es se'imach, ein lo mikudeshes. Rabbi Nosson says, listen, with the schar of what I'm going to do with you, or do for you, I should say, she's not mikudeshes. V'chol she'kein, b'schar she'asi se'imach. So Rabbi Nosson says, no, both cases don't work. Rabbi Huda Nosi Omer, be'emes amru. So Rabbi Huda Nosi says, in reality, we say the following. In reality, bein b'schar she'asi se'imach. So whether he says to her, with the value of the services that I have done for you, or whether he says with the value of the services that I will do for you, Eina Mikudesha. So I will say, either way, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, you can't be Mekadesh with the value of services, because Lamaisa again, that is going to have the appearance ultimately of being Mekadesh with the Milva. Vim Hosif Lanofach Mishalo. Mikudeshes. But Lamais again, at the end of the day, if he added in something of his own, so he added in an extra, Nofach Rabosei literally is a gem. In other words, if he says, Zikami Kudeshes to me with what? With the value of the services. But he also throws in an additional piece of mamon, then Einachinami, additional pruta, we'll call it, then Einachinami again, she will be Mikudesh. So Rabosei, what do you see from here? You see from here, that at least according to Rebbe, the halacha is that if a man is a Kadesh woman with both a milva and a pruta, her das is going to be on what? Her das is going to be on the pruta. Says the Gemara, ma'ika bein Tanakam Rabbi Nosson. So we'll say, what is the chilik between Tanakam and Rabbi Nosson? Both seem to be saying the same thing in the Brayso over here. Ikebenayu schirus. The difference we'll say between them would be a case ultimately again of schirus. Correct. The nafkamini between them would be a case of schirus, and the Gemara said, "Bein Rabbi Nosson Rabbi Huda Nasi Ikabenayu Milva Upruta." And it will say the nafkamini between Rabbi Huda Nasi and Rabbi Nosson would be the case of ultimately when he was Mekadesha with both a milva and a pruta. Fine. Says the Gemara Amr Shmo. So both say. So remember, so far we're still in the same basic sugya of Rav Asi. And the fundamental shaila we're dealing with, Rabosai, over here is whether or not Uman kona b'shevach kli. Does an Uman acquire ultimately an item that he's working on when he improves it or not? So we'll say, in other words, do we say that when an Uman improves an item, he acquires it and therefore effectively sells it back to the owner of the raw materials at the end? Or do we say, no, the Uman never fully acquires the item. Rather, he simply paid a wage. We've seen already two major nafkaminas. What are the two major nafkaminas? Nafkamina number one, Rabosai, is what happens if the Uman ruins the finished product? Is he liable to pay back raw materials or the value of the finished product? That's nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two is what, Rabosai? Basolin. Are you in violation if you don't pay your Uman within the day after he finished the job? So if you hold Uman kona b'shevach kli, then what? He's not getting paid for wages, he's getting paid for, he's selling a product, therefore there's no lo sullen, bo bas sullen. But if you hold in Uman kona b'shevach kli, then I owe him wages, and if I delay in paying him, then l'maise again I will be chayv. So both say, so that's still, we haven't resolved that yet. The Gemara now is going to go on with that. Amr Shmuel, tavach Uman, Tavachuman, Shekilkal Chayiv L'Shalim. So let's listen to this. Shmuel said that if you have an expert butcher who went ahead and messed up, Shekilkal Rabosei means he ruined the animal, right? He botched the Shechita. So what's Tavach? Chayiv L'Shalim. He's obligated to pay. Why? Mazik hu posheahu. Because Rabosei, he's a mazik, he's a damager, he's a poshea. Poshea means he's negligent. So Naaseh ke omer lo shachut li mikan, v'shachut lo mikan. Rabosei, this would be the equivalent. Ultimately, if I told the shochet, shech the animal here, and the animal shechted it somewhere else. So we'll say that's the type of negligence that we see when a shochet batches a shechita. So the Gemara says, lam li the meimar mazik hu posheahu. Why do you have to say that he's both a mazik and a poshea? I amar mazik, as if I would have just said he's a mazik, hava amina hanimili heicha deka avid bischar. I would have thought, therefore, he's only liable, what? When he's getting paid for the job. Aval heicha deka avid bechinam lo. But perhaps if he was doing this, I will say, you know, when somebody does you a favor for free, so there's limited liability for favors, right? But when somebody's getting paid for something, there's heightened liability. So I would have thought that he's only a mazik, he's only a poshef, he's getting paid. But if he's doing it for free, no, you get what you pay for. To which the Gemara says, no. If he botches it, even when he's doing it for free, he's still a mazik, he's still a poshea. Eisei Rav Chama Bar Gori l'Shmuel. So one second, Rav Chama Bar Gori raised a kashan Shmuel. Hanosin behema l'tabach. If I give my animal to a butcher, v'nibla, v'nivla. And what happens? The shochet, the butcher is the shochet. The butcher, the shochet, batches the shechita, and the animal becomes an adela. What's the halacha? Uman potter. Well, so listen to this. If the shochet is an expert, ultimately he's going to be potter. Now, both say, now, why is he potter? Look at Rashi. Uman potter. Da'anosu. See, Rabosai, we recognize that even people who are proficient in their trade just sometimes experience extenuating circumstances. Rabosai, remember again, when you're a shochet, if the animal jerks in the wrong way, moves in the wrong way, the Ma'asiyan could totally botch the shechita, and that's not, you could minimize that, but you can't totally control that. So the Ma'asiyan, again, the assumption is that if someone is an expert shochet, and the shechita gets botched, again, assuming someone wasn't actively negligent, they're going to be putter on that. Head yot chayiv. But Rabosai, if a guy is a head yot, in other words, not an expert shechita, shochet, and he botches the shechita, he's going to be chayiv. Rabosai, why? Why? Don't do things you don't know how to do. In other words, or for that matter, if you are interested in experimenting and seeing if you could develop new skill sets, practice on your own animals. Don't practice on other people's animals. And if you choose to undertake a process that you are not proficient in and you botch it, you are going to be chayiv ultimately again for the botched product. They no sin schar, so listen to this. But if you pay someone for a service, bein hedyot, bein uman chayv, then Rabbi say whether they're an expert or not an expert, if you're taking money for something, then what? Then what? You better be an expert. Mm-hmm. And if you're not an expert, you are going to be responsible for any damages. So Amarle, so I will say, so remember again, they're raising this cash to Shmuel, because Shmuel was the one who said what? Shmuel was the one who said that Lemaisa, Shmuel said that if a Tabach Uman went ahead and messed up the Shechita, ultimately again he is going to be Chayiv. He's going to be Chayiv. Now I will say, and this Braisa says over here that if an Uman Shochet messes up the Shechita, then what? He's Potter. He's Potter. So Amar Lei, Le'achar Mochach. Le'achar mochach, your brain is foggy, right? What kind of kash is that, right? What kind of question is that? Also, mirabana kamosivle. So another one of the rabbis came along and asked Shmuel the same question. Armalei hashta shakalta ma'id shakol chavirach. You're going to get. I'm going to give you exactly what I just gave your friend. I told your friend that his brain is cloudy. I'm going to tell you that your brain is cloudy as well. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? So ma'id shakol chavirach. Ka'amina luchu ana Rabbi Meir. I'm trying to espouse to you the Shita of Rabbi Meir, and you're coming along and bringing me a ride from the Shita of the Rabbanan. Amai lo dayak damili. Why are you not more careful with your questions? Shani omer maziku poshech. Because I say that in a case where ultimately, again, the shochet batches the shechita, he's a mazik, he's a poshech. Why? Naasek omer lo shachot limikan v'shachot limikan. Because it's the equivalent when he batches the shechita as if the owner told him shecht over here, and the shochet shecht somewhere dramatically different. Man isli hai svara. We'll say, who is the one who holds of the svara? Rabbi Meir. Now we'll say, my isli hai svara, Rabbi Meir, darim bi'bayle le mirman nafshe. Because we'll say, Shmuel says, I hold like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the one who says that a person has an added level of responsibility to be vigilant, not to cause harm or not to cause damage to another. We'll say, we'll stop over here for today. I'm going to record a few more lines in Mirat Hashem this afternoon. We'll start to, or maybe not. The truth is, it's actually a short daf tomorrow. So you may actually pick up, and you know what? We'll pick up right here, Mirat Hashem. So no homework for today. So we'll say again, I know we're ending off a little bit. So remember, we still have a couple of loose ends we have to tie up. Number one, we have to tie up again. Is Uman Kone B'Shevach clear or not? Which I will say again is a major, major issue. Does an Uman acquire an item through improvements? That's number one. And now number two, we're getting into the very interesting discussion of professional liability. When you do something as a professional and you botch up that process, what is the level or extent of your liability? Then Amir Tashem will continue tomorrow.
Why you come there and say, I'm going to say,